You heard it right here, right now from the beat.
The new ivory is mammoth.
What do you guys want to know? I've done way too much research on dinosaurs.
Almost a larger than life figure.
No reason at all to think it was made by aliens.
Drop down and go swimming as fast as you can. Out of whale.
All these big giants, give me a kiss and tell me they don't.
The crowd, just the pop, the loudness, the excitement, the electricity.
I don't know if I can take your little Canadian destroyer.
The future is scary, but it's also wonderful.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast where Genuine meets Uncensored, and all of that powered by Jägermeister, yours truly, Unscriptify Podcast. Currently, we are witnessing a revolution, not just in WWE, but in pro wrestling in general. Things happening at the moment on this past WrestleMania, in this past couple of years in AEW, New Japan, or in TNA, former Impact Wrestling, in WWE are not believable, let's say it. Nobody could think that things could go this way if you looked at the product from a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And it's only in manner of this week to talk about pro wrestling, to talk about WrestleMania, to talk about the evolution of this sports entertainment. So, Luca, are you ready to go genuine, uncensored, and unscripted? Oh, and how you doing?
It is rather, I would say, ironic that we are unscripted as we are talking about scripted show. such is life, full of surprises. Obviously the past weekend, WrestleMania, WWE did an excellent job. I think we can all agree.
Over-delivered.
The night two was better than night one, which is opposite of what was last year. Night one was better than the night two. But overall, it was very good. Very good. A lot of matches delivered. Crowd on night one was kind of here and there. But the crowd on night two, I don't know if the same people bought tickets or, you know, there was different...
Turn the lights out.
Yeah, I mean, if the other people bought tickets just, or it was just more excited because it was that the second night and obviously the final reckoning. So maybe the crowd was excellent, you know, mm-hmm. And obviously the main event will be talked about years to come.
Yeah, well, I mean, what we saw this weekend on Saturday and on Sunday both, it's something that's probably so far, and I believe it will be, the biggest pro wrestling moment that we can witness. Of course, we weren't there when Stone Cold and Rock had their rivalry.
Yes.
When Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart had their rivalry. When Hulk Hogan defeated Andre the Giant and similar. But this may be because you can feel the vibes when you see the audience and everything, when you see these old matches of Stone Cold, of Rock and other guys. And you can feel the atmosphere. You kind of... can imagine how it was back then,
yeah.
In the Attitude Era, in Golden Era. But we are truly, like Cody said, witnessing and experiencing the renaissance of pro wrestling, maybe the best term to use for what is currently happening in the industry.
Yeah, it's obviously the best when you are at the party, while the party is going on. I've been following wrestling since... late 2007, 2008, early. And this is truly, obviously, one of the pinnacles of that watching experience mm-hmm. altogether. WWE has been doing an incredible job these past few years. I think when you look at that, and a lot of people are noticing this in the past time, you know, how wrestling kind of, he's mainstream again.
Yeah.
He's flowing into those mainstream waters, you know. And that is different because I think you can still put on some of those years in 2010s. Like, in all probability, WWE was making more money even on mm-hmm. paper than they were making at the time you thought of there as their peak.
Yeah.
But there's difference between...
But numbers now are even great.
Yes, but, you know, it's that mainstream following that's always, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. kind of interesting. Because, again, WWE has always been followed. I mean, it's huge.
Yeah.
I mean...
one of the top 10 channels on YouTube.
And yes.
It wasn't made in one day, not in this week, in previous months. It was made in past years.
Yeah, but I just think of the product and the company itself is kind of crazy because I remember recently when Triple H was on Complex for buying sneakers, and he said something. He was talking about the product and this and that. He said, "Where do you have somebody that produces a 5 hour of live TV
every week
on a weekly basis?" I mean,
for almost 30 years.
Think about the advertising, the people, the production. It is kind of crazy. And I think we are again flowing into that time when wrestling is kind of getting cool again. Mm-hmm. You know, it's cool to be a wrestling fan again. You know what I mean?
I even wonder, I don't know if this thought maybe passed through your mind in past few days, but because we are obviously older than we were 10 years ago, and we are not so connected with people who could join and start watching pro wrestling in the WWE back then. Do you think maybe there are kids, way more kids nowadays on these territories in Montenegro, in Serbia, Croatia, who are joining and watching pro wrestling? Because I can see many people of our age knowing what is happening, and many using something from pro wrestling, not knowing what it is.
Yes.
Memes, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody knows memes. Crying meme.
And with Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
You know, the meme that became popular. But that's about it. There's that mainstream appeal. Because think about, 7 or 8 years ago, on a sort of Balkan Facebook pro wrestling community.
Yeah.
It was going on. I mean, it was kind of hilarious.
We were OGs.
Yeah, we were part of that community. I mean, there were a couple of people. There was that small promotion of pro wrestling in Croatia that basically some guys from the internet started, which was
Pro Hrvanje.
Yeah, which was terrible, but it was kind of beautiful that some people obviously were so passionate about it to try to run it in a sense. And some people from our country and from Serbia were following, but you could not get out in public
and say, yeah, I watch wrestling every week.
Yes, because I mean, I didn't give a fuck.
Yeah,
and I was openly a pro wrestling fan, fuck off. But you know, people were like, oh, I do not, it's fake. No, yeah. No, Sherlock, I don't know, it's fake. You know, I'm a fucking idiot, you know.
They all enjoyed to do pro wrestling moves together.
Yes, yeah, so absolutely.
That's a little bit hypocritical.
Yes, yes, and then now the tide is like changing. People are now who the pro wrestling stars are, because mostly you see other people from other sports connecting and mentioning and kind of living in this pro wrestling world. I mean, and remember when Cavaliers won the championship?
Yeah,
and LeBron dressed with the it was Kevin Love that dressed with Stone Cold T-shirt.
Yeah.
And LeBron,
they got belts.
Dressed, yes, as the with the T-shirt of Ultimate Warrior, and they drank beer. They did a beer bash like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Everybody here was jerking off to that, and we were telling them how it's connected to pro wrestling, and nobody knew that.
Mm.
And they didn't know, and they tried, thought we were crazy, and we were right. But you know, those things. And now there is even more that you see people. Knowing who Roman Reigns is, knowing with The Rock obviously bringing that appeal from Hollywood, and WWE is especially, but pro wrestling itself, you have to even look at the pro wrestling itself, not just WWE. Obviously, WWE is the biggest product maker, is benefiting from that, but all of pro wrestling is kind of bigger in a sense, you know, because you can't look at the past and see we had in 2040, what WWE and TNA and
TNA was already dying, maybe.
But we're dying. Whatever you think of AW is still there. It's still got a major financial backing, and Ring of Honor is
not indie anymore. Basically,
not indie. Yes, and
you have New Japan, which is followed outside of the Japan.
Yes, followed outside, and they did shows in the US, and they were very popular. And because of the internet, now people can access it more and watch it, and blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
She's great.
It's probably also part of Endeavor, the thing that WWE is currently doing, going global, going to Europe, to Australia, to UK, to Germany, France, I mean, to Scotland. Now they have four events. Scotland, France, Germany.
Italy.
Italy?
I think I think you said Bologna.
Yeah, that's live show.
That's live show.
Or... There was maybe SmackDown in Berlin, but I'm not sure. But no pay-per-view. Of course, but they have three pay-per-views outside of the the US. They had Elimination Chamber in Perth. They had Elimination Chamber last week, last year in Canada. And similar. They are going global, like Triple H said. And you have this industry that's recognizable in all other sports, in football, on stadiums, in NBA, that the Roman Reigns theme song is played on the Lakers game, and similar stuff is happening. Everyone kind of, to use the right terminology, acknowledging WWE as the...
They don't give a fuck anymore. They're not humble about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because they don't even care about putting in a closed arena Royal Rumble. They're like, you, we're doing 50,000 people here, 50,000 people eliminate... I mean, think about, Royal Rumble is a big event. SummerSlam is a big event. But the Elimination Chamber was not ever a big event. You know, it was a filler before WrestleMania. Fuck you. But they go to Perth. It's a very predictable show, of course. But you jam an arena, 50,000 people in Australia. Fuck you. I mean, that's terrific business, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think you could do that, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could pack it, in a sense. But would you create such a buzz? You know, would you have such an interest? Would you have such appeal on social media and things like that? I don't think so.
Yeah, and a big part of that goes to our tribal chief, Roman Reigns, who lifted the company actually and led it through maybe the hardest period of COVID and afterwards. But not just Roman Reigns, of course, people in creative, Triple H, also Vince McMahon, that nobody wants to mention now. But Vince McMahon actually started this whole storyline. He had his genuine moments in it, but you know.
He has shitty moments.
And Triple H will have shitty moments, of course. He's not Messiah. But he kind of is.
But he's not without his faults. Even though pro wrestling fans, unfortunately, now right now they can't see it, but they will see it. Mm-hmm. You know? Those are pro wrestling fans. We turn on everybody.
But you can sense like the things are actually different in WWE locker room, for example.
Obviously.
And everything.
They can say pro wrestling now.
Which
must be liberating.
I just read after WrestleMania that people in creative are actually going away from this sports entertainment regime.
Yeah, you know, so Vince is going to die now.
I mean, we are going to Netflix and similar stuff.
Netflix is
things like Ohio Valley Wrestling are going are getting TV deals. I mean,
I mean, things like that are happening. You know, TV deals and very lucrative TV deals for pro wrestling are getting. You know, and obviously there is also within this scene now for these guys. Obviously, think about some of the talent that WWE grabbed from those early days of Rumble, like Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and
Finn Balor.
Now some of those talent can go to indie and make money and still be successful outside WWE.
And make indies even bigger.
Yes, and make still a name for themselves, you know, and do fantastic things, fantastic matches and explore and this and that. Only WWE.
Yeah, it's not this one-way street to go from indies to WWE anymore. It's not the closed circle. You can go to WWE or you can go to TNA, so you can go to WWE.
He's killing it.
Yeah.
Apple Wrestling is killing it.
Yeah, I mean, TNA, AEW and everything. You can go between these companies, still feel relevant, still progress, evolve, and not feel like you are downgraded, because a lot of guys who go from WWE to AEW actually don't feel downgraded, although it is in some sense downgrade.
Ask Edge.
But
you saw the huge buzz was generated when Nick Nemeth, our Dolph Ziggler, won the New Japan Pro Wrestling.
But he debuted in TNA as well.
It was a big
and he had story as well, just you know.
Yeah. It was a great moment for him, you know. It was awesome, because I liked it very much, you know, that he could get that kind of recognition, you know.
Most people aren't interested in just one topic.
Don't settle for a podcast about just one subject. That rhymed.
Greetings, we're technically a conversation, a podcast for curious people by curious people.
On our podcast, we do things just a little bit different. Every week, we share a new topic, and the other hosts have no idea what the topic will be.
Our topics are all over the place, from light and funny to dark and sometimes spooky.
We've covered everything from true crime, historical events and people, the supernatural and the occult.
I like that.
Urban legends and folklore.
My favorite.
No matter what we cover, we try to make the episodes interesting and funny.
Don't mean to be the bad guy, but our lawyer said we legally couldn't call our show funny.
We have a lawyer?
Let me tell you what I told our lawyer. Come here so I can show you how far I can legally stick my high-heeled boot up here.
Check us out at technicallyaconversation.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Technically a Conversation.
We're like a lifestyle brand.
Yeah.
Yeah, nowadays it's like... pro wrestling is trespassing these boundaries that we are used to, because we often like to use the whole fan base, the superstars, the creative, to use this term cinema, because we were always invested as a fan base. Fandom was always a crucial part of pro wrestling, of WWE, but now it's like level above, right? And with this long-term storytelling, the commitment is much bigger. The character work is now better than it was, of course, in previous years, at least on the main scene. So we are witnessing truly a great age to be pro wrestling fans.
Yes, I agree. But one of the things that obviously not everything is perfect in La La Land. You know, there are some things still that would be changed, but we are in the right direction, I would say.
Yeah.
But as far as the direction goes, we watched Raw after Mania just this morning, and some feuds were set, obviously, some things happened, this and that, but it's ushering the new era of WWE, and it's certainly
I gotta say a few words before I forget. We are not in the new era. This era started 2 years ago, and I'm kind of angry of pinpointing this WrestleMania and this night as the new era, because we can pinpoint also Cody leaving WWE and starting AEW as the beginning of the new era. Beginning, we can pinpoint Roman's start of his reign as the beginning of the new era. So if I were to choose, this is not the beginning of new era. We were already living it, but just not knowing it.
Well, yeah, but I would say that, because obviously Roman was a champion for so long and was running the game for so long, and it's now it's going to be different dynamics. Obviously, but yeah, I mean, you could say that the pandemic changed a lot of things for the pro wrestling landscape, and certainly didn't do AEW any favors. because obviously, pandemic AEW is, you know, it's a motherfucker.
Yeah.
But
and they strayed from their original idea as well. But
well, you know. I remember in 2015 was the year when WWE was rattled with injuries, and 2016 as well, you know,
and this WrestleMania as well.
But at the time, you know, you it was very hard for them, because injuries when happen to your main stars, and when you build the storylines around these guys, the months in advance, you know,
not months, years. Vince allegedly had three next WrestleManias planned.
Yeah, well, main events.
Yeah.
Also new.
But it was easy to plan Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns every year.
Yes, it was very original at the time, and you know, if he didn't like it, he could rewrite it on the same night.
Yeah.
So that was different. But you know, the AEW is in that position. Whether you want to pinpoint that to the style of wrestling that they're employing, or this and that, you know, some injuries, and obviously older WWE stars running the show.
Mm.
Where have I seen that somewhere? you know, is a bit problematic. But, you know, it would be nice for them to bounce back, because as we, the old capitalists, know, the competition makes a product better.
And practice makes perfect.
Yes, so the better the competition is, the more they are at each other's throats, trying to kill each other, destroy each other's business.
Until AEW collapse.
WCW. If they don't change the game, obviously. it's the better product for everybody, you know. Yeah. And so that is the thing. Somebody will go to New Japan for more sports like pro wrestling, and here for the cinema kind, and AW for dropping people on their heads on the glass and things like that, you know. But everybody here has their you know, taste. But what happens now is interesting.
Yeah, but also AW still didn't have their 83 weeks.
Yeah, but I mean, that, you know, so yeah, I mean, obviously, but you know, truly, when you look at now at AEW, I would say one thing that for them signing John Moxley or Dean Ambrose was the signing of their life.
Yeah,
they would agree, because he's kind of right. The I don't know personally, me, I don't associate. He's now the AEW, you know, founding guy almost, you know. Not in the corporate legal sense, but he's kind of he made them when he
pioneer.
Yeah, when he appeared on that first pay-per-view, he was the first big deal for them.
Was it All In? Or Double or Nothing.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but it was a huge deal for them, you know. Yeah, and he kind of offset them. Not the Chris Jericho, not Cody Rhodes, not even Kenny Omega or Young Bucks, and he's kind of been consistent with them. So, you know, he's kind of the MVP of that show.
Yeah, currently he's like pivoting towards Ring of Honors.
Yeah, I'm not always in obviously, because following, I don't know, you know, people, following pro wrestling is hard, because 5 hours of live show just on WWE. So if you want to watch AEW then, and New Japan and Ring of Honor, your only hobby has to be pro wrestling.
Yeah.
But I have many hobbies, you know. I like to read, watch a movie, and, you know, watch TV series, play games. So I cannot be in the loop with everything. And that's why the sport like UFC is great for me, because you have a show a week. Or show in 2 weeks, and it's 4 a.m. in the morning, so I don't have anything going on at that time, so I'm good.
Then don't argue that you didn't see Roman Reigns every week.
Yeah, obviously.
Because you see champs only every 3 months.
Yeah, but that's what I like about the UFC, you know, because it's once a week, in 2 weeks, you know. And if the card is shitty, I don't give a fuck. I won't watch it. You know? And some people will say that I'm casual, and I wholeheartedly accept that, because, you know, I'm only gonna be motivated to wake up at 4:30 a.m. to watch a main card if that card is a motherfucking banger. You don't understand?
You know that I actually woke up for time of Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I want to brag with that.
And I've sent messages and evidence.
Yes. We have that on the record, you know. Yeah. We have that on the record.
But I needed to pee. I wasn't actually planning to wake up, but since I was already awake.
Yeah, obviously. So, you know, but that's the beauty of it all. But
probably, and that's why it's hard to be pro wrestling hard fan in Europe and Asia.
Absolutely, because that's time zone is key. But it's also with WWE, because they're kind of earlier. Because if you want to watch the UFC, say, only main event, like I usually will watch only three last fights, and I will replay the previous fights.
Yeah.
Or if the whole card is banger, I'll wake up. But I will usually replay the previous fights and watch live these. But the UFC main event usually is around 7 a.m. 6:30 a.m., you know, because it's like a midnight happening live. So, but WWE is around 10, 9, something like that.
Also TV deal, rating and everything.
So it's a different ballgame. But that's a beautiful thing again. So watch 5 hours a week.
I'm curious about the time slot when WWE go to NXT. Will it say the same, or will it be earlier or even later?
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. But you know, will they want to pander to the U.S. Audience? Yes.
But what to expect from wrestling in following days and months and years?
We need to see if Cody Rhodes, will we like him only as a challenger? Will we like only a guy to see him chase it or to run the place? Because that's what Sting was in WCW. You almost kind of, I mean, his booking later was shit, but you know, that kind of, but it's also like, You want to see some guys chase it sometimes, almost. Mm. You want to see them as challengers.
Like a dog.
You want to see that the underdog part of them.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you don't like them, see them running the place. And I'm not saying this is because we don't know. I mean, it's obviously one day for Cody.
Yeah, but recent example would be Sami Zayn as tag team champion.
Yes, yes. That didn't work out.
Yeah. Well, Seth Rollins as well. Heavyweight champ.
Yeah, but Seth's a bit of a different case. You know, it's not about him running towards it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just that current character in the booking has been...
In college.
Yeah. I mean, do you remember anything from his reign? Like, that's, wow, memorable, you know. Wow, this is an amazing match.
Outfits.
Yeah, you know, so that's something that WWE creative has to work on, what happens with Seth. Now... He obviously has to take vacation because the guy has been busting his balls, entire year. I mean, no offense to Seth. I mean, he's doing incredible work, but you cannot pinpoint the time in his reign where at any point that title felt as important as Roman's. At no point it felt to me more important than the Intercontinental title because Gunther was running that motherfucker so smoothly. So that's the thing. What happens with Cody is the question is, can WWE book him enough as a believable babyface champion? Because that's much harder to book than a
heel
champion and a long-running face champion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it would be kind of gay to now for the guy to be a champion for 40 days, right?
Yeah.
He has to go on a roll. But against whom? Who will be the challengers? What happens, you know?
And not just Cody Rhodes. We also had to see what will happen with the other guy, with Roman Reigns, now that he lost championship after almost 4 years.
Yes.
And him, because he will be main event of the night, even without championship now.
Obviously.
And you have to choose between him and Cody. They'll probably be on different brands as well.
I would know.
Maybe different pay-per-views.
Yeah.
But also it will be very cool to see because Triple H promised us even better story for the Bloodline now. And it's hard to surpass or touch what Bloodline has achieved so far.
Yes, yes. But let him cook. Let him cook. You know, we will see. But
Brock will also be back in the game and... You know.
Yeah, what happens with Rock? I'm also interested with that, you know, because will they realize that he is a shitty actor that, you know, we can make a $50 million per movie, you know, absolutely. So why not to do that, you know? But this is the place where that man's talents excel. And this is the place where we want him to see. And not in Red Notice 2 or Black Adam 2 or any of the...
Yeah.
Kevin Hart shit comedy.
What
you know?
He did in this storyline between those four guys and between Cody and Roman as well, he elevated all of them.
Absolutely.
He didn't took all the spotlight. He was the spotlight naturally, of course.
Killed it.
Yeah, killed it. But in the meantime, he elevated all of them. And we saw brief moments of Roman that we saw. They were also elevating for Roman. Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, everybody of them wanted to compete with that Rock, you know.
Yes, yes. The Rock did a fantastic job. I mean, this feud would be nothing
without him.
Without him, yeah. I mean, he did a.
It would be something.
But it wouldn't. It wouldn't feel grandiose.
Yeah.
You know, it's just he added that theatricality. Mm. And hype around it that was so essential for this to be much more than the previous. That is beautiful.
Yeah. And we had really bittersweet moment at WrestleMania because, you know, all fans, Roman maybe himself, Cody, we all wanted to see Cody win. I did a little bit of trolling because it was fun and memes would be legendary. But, when he dropped that title that night, everybody felt for him, you know. We lost Tribal Chief.
Yes, yes. Look,
and thank you, Roman Chance, in the same Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Where he was booed on 25th of January, 2015.
It was start of that biggest fucking heat against the guy who just didn't deserve that fucking heat. I mean, they destroyed him in that place.
Yeah.
And it was one of the worst Royal Rumbles ever. Probably, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah,
and they had all those stories collide into one. Roman helping Rock helping Roman at that WrestleMania, Seth Rollins betraying a Shield back in the days, and all those mini storylines, Cody's storylines, Undertaker, John Cena, Solo Sikoa, Jay, Jimmy, everybody in this one moment. It was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah. You know, the those guys that make those films on YouTube, like they compile all the videos from the feud.
Yeah.
And then make like a movie about the field. And I wonder where this, how do you compile this story? Because
you start with the debut of Shield attacking, not debut, but Shield attacking Rock.
Because I mean, you mean where you throw these important moments of everything, because it feels like a culmination of everything. Now, even if you disregard the previous things like tie-in comics, you can start, you know, just from Cody, or just from 2 points, Roman turning heel, getting the championship then, and then Cody Rhodes coming to WrestleMania 38, and, you know,
Claire and Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns.
Yeah, and then pinpoint those two roads, cross them, and it would be beautiful. So, fantastic. It's something that I will gladly watch if somebody makes, you know, and I'd have to search for all the videos on YouTube. Yeah. So that would be very nice.
Yeah, but I have to end on this note before we finish everything.
Gunther will be champion, I know.
Gunther will be champion one day, probably. This WrestleMania lacked one thing. Return of Dean Ambrose. What a moment it will be. Or the Emeralds.
That would be orgasm, you know?
That's one thing that I want to see from WWE in next 2 years. Return of Dean Ambrose, not John Moxley, Dean Ambrose, to where he belongs.
I just mentioned
it. We deserve it. He deserves it. And I think he would like to return.
Yeah.
Just like Avengers.
but for next year, WrestleMania, think about this. Well, who knows what happens, but if we can get it back, say, we can make a triple threat. And make a Punk versus Cody, or Punk versus Gunther, or Cody versus Gunther, or whatever, you know, it's nice. Or Bayley in the main event, like she is. That won't happen, but...
Go with the quote.
Yes, I will go for the quote from...
Or we go with the win.
From our one of the greatest, obviously, writers and rulers, Petar Drugi Petrović Njegoš, and he said in obviously poem words, which will be a little bit hard to translate, but still on our language, po jednom se mrej rađa, do poštenja sve je mrtvo, ono živi vjekovično, grob je častan, vječan život, život stiden, grob vječiti. And in English, it will translate something closely to, you live and die once, but honesty is all. It lives forever. Those who live honestly, they live forever. But those without honor die in shame.
Stay tuned.
And acknowledge
this podcast.
We stay genuine, uncensored, and unscripted. And we always will, as we have to order our usual. Share us, subscribe us, and stay tuned until the next Wednesday.
Iguzo!